Friends, let us turn in the Word of God to Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, Luke 11. And this morning, I want us to study the words of a scripture here with some lessons in prayer. That God answers the prayers of people, even wicked people. What is prayer? What is prayer? Speaking with God, praising God, asking God, waiting on God. So many things that we could say from the Word of God that the Scripture says about prayer. Our Lord Jesus Christ showed here to his disciples the pattern in things that we must pray for, general things. And you see that in verses 2 to the end of verse 4, that is often called the Lord's Prayer. This prayer wasn't given here so that people could simply recite. But it was something to show us a pattern. These are the things that you ought to be remembering before God. My question to you is, do you pray? Do you pray? When and in what situations do you pray? When things are going well? Or when things are going wrong? Or when nothing's happening? Neither good or bad. Maybe you are simply wanting in prayer to spend time with God. What a wonderful thing that is. For a soul wanting to be with the Lord in prayer. To thank God for His grace. For life that He has given us. That would be a wonderful thing. Is that your desire? Do you enjoy praying? I would say that prayer is the hardest thing. It's the hardest thing. That's why we need to be reminded of it again and again. So many things we can do by rote. We can read our Bibles. We can come to church. We can do many things out of habit. But prayer is very personal. Maybe even this morning you are ashamed to pray. Maybe you feel your sin this morning. You feel the evil that is in your life and your bad thoughts, the secret thoughts and sins. And that makes you ashamed. And you think, I can't pray. I can't pray with all of these things. I'm so dirty inside. I feel so dirty inside. How can I pray? Well, these are some of the things we want to speak about this morning, especially then pointing us to Jesus Christ and to the way of salvation. And there are four things I want to speak to you about. Now, I know our time is limited, and as usual, my first point will be longer. So bear that in mind when we come to the other points, and don't be alarmed too much. But the first point is this, simply that God hears the prayers of evil people. And I put it because the text here says it in verse 13. And secondly, I want us to consider our limitations in prayer being evil, the Lord says. That's our limitation. The third thing is the blessed gift of God. The blessed gift of God. And then finally, we will think about some wrong ideas about prayer. So first of all, God hears the evil people when they pray. Look at verse 13 again. If ye then, the Lord says, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Think about this. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Who are referred to in this text? If ye then, being evil. It's the disciples who had been taught to pray. It was the disciples who asked the Lord to teach them about prayer. And the Lord says, if ye then being evil. Why does he say then, if ye then? It's telling us that it relates to what went on before this. Before this, you have a picture and example of a father's willingness to give his children good things, good gifts, suitable gifts, nourishing food. And so you have it in the previous verses. And there's an encouragement there to ask, to seek, to knock. In verse 10, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened, the Lord says. So the idea is to seek God persistently for answer prayer, and so that he might answer our prayers. And if you apply this, and I'm trying to apply this to the point of salvation, here, of course, is speaking about the gift of the Holy Spirit and the blessing of the Holy Spirit there who works in us. And it's the Holy Spirit that causes sinners to be born again. And that's what we need to be, born again by the Spirit of God. We can't make ourselves to be born again. But that's why we need the Spirit of God to work in us. And here, if we apply this, a matter of asking and knocking and praying to salvation, we need to be persistent in it, the Lord is saying. Isn't it urgent to be saved? Saved from sin, from the condemnation of the law of God, for the condemnation that God gives to those who break his law? Isn't it an urgent matter to pray and to be saved? The Lord Jesus also spoke of a parable, which is called the parable of the friend at midnight that we read together in verses 5 through to 8. And again, the same thing is repeated. There's urgency. There's importunity, going again and again and again, knocking again and again until the answer is given. So what lessons does that parable tell you? It's saying that insistence, importunity, determination, begging even, makes even the unwilling person grant our desires. Some of you are like that. Our little dog that we have had recently, she begs constantly. And she won't give up until we are forced to give or throw her out. But the Lord says this is the attitude. We are calling upon God to give salvation to sinners. That every time we gather together, do you know there are some of you here, you don't come to prayer meetings, but you are mentioned. We talk behind your back all the time before God. Because we know that the only one who can save you is God himself. So you're named often before God in prayer meetings here and at home as well. Children, you know, your parents are praying for you. That's a wonderful thing. Oh, that you would hear your parents pray in their closet when they are privately with your name on their lips, calling upon God, Lord, save my son, save my daughter. And so then the Lord Jesus moves to give a picture of a son who goes to his father and asks for bread and fish. And the question is this: what will the father give? I need bread, Father. I need fish, Father. I need egg, Father. Now, will the Father give instead a stone? Will the Father give a serpent or a snake? Will the Father give a scorpion? Well, those things were readily available then in the Middle East. So that was something that people could see what he was coming from. But the answer is no, he will not give any of those things. The father of the child wants to bless, wants to give. It's a wonderful thing to have your child come and ask. He wants to help his child. So the prayer is answered because also our Heavenly Father wants to bless and give. Now, we can't compare ourselves. We can't compare our love, our desires to God. We are so different to God. And our problem is we think so much about the Lord as we think about ourselves. Our thoughts about God is like man. And that's what we need to put aside. The Lord is not like us. And so when we approach him in prayer, how reverently we should approach him. When we worship him, how reverently we should worship him. You're not talking to your pal. You're talking to the Lord in prayer. He's not, as some would think, to say, oh, well, the word for father is daddy. That's not the case, my friends. Yes, it is an intimate word, Abba, Father, but it's a respectful, the most respectful word you can use to approach God. But, my friends, what will the Father give? The Father, who is a sinner himself, an earthly father, who is a sinner himself, and who is evil himself, does this. He answers prayer. He answers the requests of his children. There is this willingness to do good. And if earthly parents can do that, then how much more our heavenly Father, who is holy and who is perfect? So even if someone is not willing, if you persevere, the Lord is saying here, you will get what you are asking. And often people, when they see a need, they want to help and answer readily. But God is far greater in his goodness than us. He is ready, ever more ready, and he is able. That's another thing. It's not enough to be ready, to be willing. You must be able as well. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto him, unto God by him, the scripture says. Now here the Lord Jesus wants to show that there are two things that God will not do. First of all, he doesn't give you something that is useless for your soul. God doesn't give you anything that is useless for your soul. A stone for a loaf of bread? No. So he's saying stone is useful in its own things if you want to build a house, but it's not useful to eat. But secondly, God doesn't give you something that is hurtful or bad for you. A serpent for a fish, a scorpion for an egg, those things can hurt you. But the Lord will not give you those things. So the Lord Jesus is saying that there is something that people do. They know how to give good gifts to their children. They know their own natural feelings prompt them to do the right things. They give good gifts to their children. The good gifts are things that the child needs. My friends, you remember that. Those parents, you remember, you seek to give what they need, not necessarily what they are wanting. You give them something that is useful and good for their soul, not something that will damn their souls and cause them to stumble and lead them in the wrong path. So give them something that is good. And here is an important truth, that there is natural feeling. In our natural feelings, love implanted in us by God. Of course, you have parents who do not do their children good and they will hurt their children. That is a very sad thing, but generally that is rare. Now, there is something that the Lord tells the children, that your parents answer you. That's a wonderful thing. Your parents answer you and they give you things when you ask them. And they know what is best for you. They don't give you something that hurts you. And the Lord Jesus Christ is implying that you can then, in like manner, go to God, your Maker, like a child. Children, the Lord is saying you can pray to God. The Lord will receive a little child as well. You can pray to God. Imagine that if there was an age limit and you were told that only from age 16 you can pray. No, that's not the case. At any age, as the child understands and crying out to God, the Lord hears. That's a wonderful thing. And you may not be able to say all the right things, use the right language and everything like that, but the scripture says that as the Father, he knoweth our frame, he knoweth that we are dust, the scripture says. So why, now the question is, why is the request for a loaf or fish or an egg is answered so willingly? Because the parent knows that they are good things. And here God is saying to you and me, there are prayers that he won't answer. There is a negative here. There are certain things he won't answer us. If the child was asking for a serpent, no, you can't have a serpent. If a child was asking for a scorpion, no, it's not, I'm not going to give you. If a child was going to ask for a stone to hit someone with, no, you can't have that. So there are certain things God will not answer you. There's a limit. Prayers that are foolish, prayers that are sinful, prayers that are unwise, prayers that do not lead to God's glory, the Lord will not answer. If we hide iniquity in our hearts, the scripture says, the Lord will not answer. If we are living a hypocrite's life, no, the Lord will not answer. There's, of course, the passage regarding husbands and their wives. And if the husband is not living in the right relationship with the wife, their prayers also are hindered. He answers prayers that are beneficial, that will bring a true blessing. That is, and that's what the parents would desire for their children. Not things that will harm them. Not things that will cause them to stumble or stop them from spiritual seeking. But to give things that will be a blessing to their children. Now, what is the greatest prayer? It's the prayer that Peter prayed. Lord, save me. What's a prayer, wonderful prayer? What must I do to be saved? Lord, receive my soul. The psalmist is oftentimes praying for salvation, for being rescued, and so on. Why someone comes to pray? Because there is a sense of need. The person feels his need. When you pray, generally speaking, it's because you need something. You sense it. You feel it. You are lacking something. There's something missing. There's something that without it, we are empty and not satisfied. What do we lack spiritually? Naturally speaking, what do we lack is forgiveness of sins. Is knowing the Lord. Naturally, we don't know God. We have a concept of God in our minds because the creation shows us that there is a creator. But spiritually speaking, the scripture says we are blind and dead in trespasses and sins. So, where does our help come from? From the Lord. The Lord helps, and so we pray to Him. So there are two things that we need to have when we come to pray. We need to have a sense of need, and also the knowledge of what is good for us. Do you have a sense of your need? Do you have a sense of need, and do you know what is good for your soul? What is good for our soul? Forgiveness is good for our souls. What is good for our souls? A new life, eternal life is good for our soul. What is good for our souls is freedom from sin, freedom from the addictions, to evil things, freedom from coldness of heart. What is good for our souls when life comes to a lifeless heart? Those are the good things. And these are the things that the Holy Spirit of God applies in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what we normally or naturally think we need are things that will ultimately hurt us. Things that you naturally feel, this is what I want. I want to eat chocolate for the rest of my life. I want to eat sweets. I want to eat all the rubbish. And it tastes nice, but it produces all kinds of illnesses and problems for you. And you know that. So what naturally we would want to have is not what we need. So here is a truth. God hears prayers, even the prayers of evil people, as it says here. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, and their children are as evil as them, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now, secondly, our limitations, being evil. Our limitations. The word being evil, that's our problem. Evil is part of who we are because sin makes us evil. And we do things that we never thought we could do or we would do. We watch something that we think we would never watch that. We would never say that. In certain situations, maybe some words has come out of your mouth and you have in the past condemned it in other people's lives. And yet at some situation, it comes out when you're under pressure. Thoughts can go in that are wicked and evil, and things can be done that is evil and wicked. How awful this is. And you think about these limitations. What's wrong with us? So these words show us the extent of sin. It's saying that even a kind parent, a good parent, is still, in the sight of God, evil, because God's standards are perfection. His standard of holiness is perfection. And so that we are called to be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's the standard. And so the best of parents are evil in the sight of God. And that is a very humbling thing to think about. So how does the evil show and often show itself? In the fact that those who give earthly goods, good things to their children are quite careless about heavenly good things for them. Oftentimes you think about it, a parent can pour so many things on their children's lives and yet not much prayer. They are not interested about the spiritual things for their children. Yes, they may come to church from time to time. And I thank God that parents here bring your children to this place to hear the gospel. That's a wonderful thing. But make sure you pour upon them the blessings of prayer, the blessings of godly example, the blessing of godly conversation, good influences in their lives, holy influences, godly influences, that they not be discouraged or offended by the gospel or by our personal examples. So think on that. The evil heart that we have naturally would stop us from fully knowing what or who God is and what is good for our souls. That's our limitation. So we have seen two things. First, that God hears evil people when they pray. And secondly, we have thought a little about our limitations, and that is being evil. That is, again, why we need God, because of our state of heart. We need, as Spurgeon would put it, we need the heart changer. God is the heart changer to give us a changed heart, a new heart. And that's what the Lord promises. The third thing is this, the blessed gift, the giving of the blessed gift. Here is the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? Leads us to the Lord, leads us to Jesus Christ, bears witness of Jesus Christ, applies the gospel to us. So now when we pray, God is willing to give us the Holy Spirit. Matthew tells us in his gospel in chapter 7 and verse 11, says that the Father will give good things to those who ask Him. Now, all things, all good things, I should say, are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so we have confidence in praying this prayer. God gives His Holy Spirit to them who ask Him. Do you want God to live in you? That's really what He's saying. Do you want God to live in you? That means that you need a new heart for God to live in you. You need to be born again if you were to have God to live in you. And the Holy Spirit does that. That's a miracle that the Holy Spirit does. So do you see? I hope you see that the Holy Spirit must change your spirit. You need a changed heart. That what you have is evil, naturally speaking, and unholy, and not spiritually minded. But the Holy Spirit is holy. So people who say, oh, I have the Holy Spirit, you should see in them a tendency, a habit of holiness. Because the Holy Spirit is holy. His nature is holy. His work is holy. He makes people holy. And He makes us to realize what sinners we are. And so the more and more you walk in the Spirit, you recognize, as the Apostle Paul says, and from time to time you cry out, oh, wretched man that I am. So do you long for holiness in your heart, in your life? Do you yearn for it? But then there are some things that stops us wanting to be holy. Why? What are those things? Well, we've already touched on it. The fact that we are sinners, it stops us from that. And we need that to be dealt with. For all have sinned, the scripture says, and come short of the glory of God. So what God does when we pray, he shows us these things. When we seek him, we ask him for these things, he shows us these things, and it's not very nice. It may make you very miserable. It often does make people very miserable. And it makes us, the Lord makes us to long to get rid of them. So God knows you better than your parents. He knows you better than any other person. He knows you better than yourself. He made you. People around you, they may know what is good for you for now, but God knows what is good for you for eternity. People give you things that are for your life, the life of your body, but God cares for both your body and your soul. People give you things for your outside, we could say, clothing and food and such things. But God gives power to be renewed within. Now the question for us is, again, do you pray? To whom do you pray? Through whom do you pray? We are to pray in Christ's name. We come to God our Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now the question for us is that, why is that? And how is that possible? And how was it that Jesus Christ came into this world? Why was it that he came? Well, to explain this, I will tell you something of an account that I heard as a boy, which describes this. There was a man, we would say Sheikh Ali. Sheikh means elder. And he was a rich man, an important man. He was sitting in his room, in his apartment one beautiful day, arranging for a feast day, arranging for a gathering of his friends. And he would order people to come in and out, and he would sit there with his accountant, and he would say, this is how much we need, this amount of things tonight, and we need such and such a thing. And he would be sipping his tea, and then he would from time to time look out to see outside. And there was his son playing outside. And he would be ordering people out, in and out, and he would look out again to see his son. And so as he would tell people to go buy this from such and such a place, he would order this person, go and invite such and such a friend, and so on. Then there was a noise. There was a noise of a cry. His son had fallen out of a tree and had hurt himself on the ground. And it was then that Sheikh Ali got up. He didn't order anybody. He got up and ran. And everyone thought, why did he run? Why did he not ask us? But he ran. He ran and he took hold of his son and held him close to him and took him to his room and tried to help him and encourage him. My friends, when you think about this, you think about this is an earthly account. How much more, how much glorious is the account of the gospel of Jesus Christ? In a far greater way, Jesus Christ came to rescue us. The world that is fallen into sin, the world that is depraved totally, we cannot save ourselves. We have not fallen out of a tree. We have fallen from grace. And we cannot save ourselves. And people try to find religion. They try to find all kinds of things. And none of that will work. But when Jesus comes, and he must save us. And that's why we keep preaching about Jesus Christ. Here in the open air. Wherever we can. Because only Jesus Christ forgives sins. And so the Bible says that Jesus came to rescue us from sin. And what sin does to us? Sin is all the bad things that we do, all the bad things we say and think. Sin has tainted every one of us. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to rescue us and to take us into his heavenly home one day. He's to make us God's friends. And whoever believes in Jesus Christ, whoever asks God, pleads with God, and prays to the Lord to save and to forgive him or her. And the person who begins to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then God will receive. The Bible says that God the Son came down from heaven to earth. He was born in Bethlehem of the Virgin Mary. His name was called Jesus Christ. Then he taught many things that no one has spoke like him. He preached with authority, and people recognized that. And he spoke of himself. He called people to come unto him, and he would forgive them. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee, he said once. And then he went and he died upon the cross. He was crucified by men, but he was being sacrificed unto God. He received the punishment that we deserve for our sins on the cross about 2,000 years ago. So, my friends, God has made you. And he's the source of your life, the source of any kind of affection and love. He has many servants like angels. He has many servants like prophets to do what he wishes. But when God saw that we had fallen, and this was all planned in eternity, all people had fallen into sin, boys and girls and men and women, he saw that everyone who had fallen in sin, it had spoiled our lives. We were being condemned, and rightfully condemned and judged on the way to eternal damnation. But he didn't send an angel nor prophets to help us, but he came himself in the person of his Son. He took as it were human clothes, a human body, came to us in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God was in Christ, the apostle says. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Do you see the love of God? How much he has loved us? Oh, that Sheikh Ali, when he held his son, his clothes, his expensive clothes was tainted with blood and with mud. But Jesus Christ, when he came to rescue us, he gave his life. And our sins were laid upon him who knew no sin, the scripture says, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you understand this? If you don't, call upon God to open your heart to this. As the text said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Friends, think on these things we ask. We ask you to consider, because it is a serious matter. Friends, we leave this matter now with the exhortation and an encouragement that God receives sinful men, God receives children, God receives adults, whatever your background is, but we must confess our sins in repentance, and we must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. That is what we ought to do. And so be encouraged. Your sins are great, and they must be condemned. There is no way out of this except through Jesus Christ. But praise God, there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And his name is Jesus Christ, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. May the Lord then bless these few thoughts to us. Amen. Let us pray.